Okay, welcome everybody, both in London and Johannesburg on Summit and on the webcast to our trading update. It's a tradition of ours to give a trading pre-close trading update so that analysts and the like know exactly what's going on prior to our year end. If I start off, I think we're all aware that the market conditions are very tough out there, and I don't think I need to harp on that. I think that is just have to watch TV or read the newspaper and you'll understand exactly what's going on. I think from Investec's point of view, our three core geographies will all remain profitable. I think South African rand will be down less than 10%. The UK business will be down less than 30%, and the Australian business, as we said to you in our December trading update, is down significantly. Recurring income as a percentage of our operating income amounts to approximately 75%, and we expect EPS, and it's early days to give a forecast, but we do expect EPS to be between 22% and 30% lower than March 2008. I think if you look at that in the context of the world, I mean, we are quite comfortable with these numbers. If you look at where we expect our balance sheet to be since March 2008, our loans and advances have grown by 23%. You must bear in mind that the net number of after currency adjustment is about 13.5%. Deposits grew by 14%, and third-party assets under management declined by 9%, which is one would expect with the fall-off in equity markets. So that just gives you an overall macro picture. And I think that what we are quite confident and comfortable with is the fact that we have managed to maintain a very sound balance sheet and low leverage right throughout this difficult crisis. And we do have a diversified business model, which we believe does give us, does enable us to navigate the present challenging environment. And I think if you look at some of the key operating fundamentals and the support that that gives us, if we start off with the fact that we do have a hands-on culture, we mentioned this before, and senior management know what's going on in our organization and very close to the coalface, and we have always been like that as an organization, and we monitor our risk and liquidity very, very carefully. I think if we look at liquidity management, I think we have always had a philosophy to keep a large pool of cash and near cash, and that helped us a lot during the Lehman's crisis, if I can call it that, where you saw most banks had a runoff in liquidity, and we felt that in the same way. October, November were quite tough periods for the banking world. We've since seen that retrace and normalize, and as we speak here today, we have about £5.2 billion of cash and near cash, of which half would be in the PLC silo and half would be in the limited silo. So 25% of our liability base is cash and near cash, and 30% of our deposit base is cash and near cash. And I'll talk a little bit about it in a moment, but we have had a massive effort in terms of diversifying funding sources and limiting concentration risk. And I think that has started to work well for us as an organization. I think on that particular topic, we have made a very strong effort and have reorganized ourselves, in particular in the UK, with two significant retail deposit launches, both in the UK and Ireland. Also Australia, but at a different sort of level. And we have started to see quite substantial inflows in retail deposits, net inflows. I'm not talking about gross inflows, I'm talking about net inflows. And we've seen that both in our private bank and in our capital markets business, which launches structured products, which are very, very retail orientated for up to 5-year term. And we have seen that very, very strong over the last 3 months, in particular, since we launched that. Now, to give you, to contextualize this, we took a whole lot of people who were good frontline people in the private bank, and we switched them around into deposit gathering as opposed to lending people, because as you're aware, lending is a difficult space to be in this environment, and we needed to switch our emphasis to deposit gathering so that we are able to fund ourselves effectively, and we have, as I said to you, have had a significant amount of success on that front. I think what we told you in November last year, the bank is also eligible to issue 3-year debt instruments guaranteed by the UK government, and we're also eligible to issue Australian government guaranteed debt through the Australian government program. And we have issued some of this debt in the past while. We also see quite a strong emphasis on retail deposit intake in Australia, and this is the way, you know, we have decided as an organisation. We mentioned it to you some time back that we have reorientated our business on the funding side towards the retail client, and as I said, a lot of success on that front. I think if you look at our capital ratios, and we did tell you in November that we would change our target Tier 1 ratio to 11, which we expect to achieve sometime in 2010, and we do again highlight the fact that we are on standardized approach for Basel II, and therefore we do have higher risk weighted assets when compared to similar portfolios of advanced banks, and I think people need to take that into account. But notwithstanding that, we expect our capital ratio in the UK to be about 15.3%, of which 9.6% is Tier 1, and we always show the number excluding operational risk, because we hold a hell of a lot of capital for operational risk, and which is way above the events that one has had. So we do need to show that to you, and South Africa we expect to be at about 13.8% and Tier 1, 10.5%, which is quite good growth on March last year. So overall, we believe that we're not too far from achieving our targets, and that we should get there within the next 18 months. I think on the credit and counterparty exposures, I think this is obviously where most banks are feeling pressure as the economy is weakened and Wall Street shifted to Main Street. And we have continued to maintain strong focus on credit quality and counterparty risk. I think impairments and defaults have increased, and they will increase in line with what is going on in the real economy. And we do expect our credit loss ratio to be between 1.1 and 1.2%, which is significantly higher than previous years. We had a very low credit loss ratio up until now, other than if you go back to the fallout from the 98 crisis in South Africa, where they tracked towards similar numbers. And that is a cyclical thing, and you know, we have had benign conditions moving into tough conditions. So we do expect that that would be the norm while the world is in this kind of space. But we are very target clients as opposed to products, and I think that's helped us during this this environment, but obviously not enough. I think the other point that people forget, and this is a point very much in favour of the South African banking industry, it is lowly leveraged compared to the international banking industry, and I think just our loan to capital ratio is 6.8, our loans to customer deposits are just under 1.1, and our total gearing 13.3, and if we stripped our securitized assets, which aren't really ours, it's 12.2. Now that is a lowly geared institution, and I think that a lot of people miss that about perhaps ourselves and about the South African banking industry at large. And I think the typical international bank was geared between 30 and 50 times, maybe even higher, which obviously caused a massive effect on those banks in this crisis when asset prices started coming down. Now if we look at our divisional review, I think we will see higher net interest income as we have had higher average advances. So we expect strong growth in net interest income. We have spoken many times about the fact that this kind of economy is going to give us lower levels of activity, and you also have falling asset prices, so therefore we will see a decline in fees and commissions, as well as revenue generated from principal transactions. We've had good trading revenue, but clearly weaker investment revenue, and I think that's what one would expect in this environment. We have managed our expenses quite tightly, and we expect expenses to be lower this year than they were last year, and we have done that in a sensitive way. And then overall, net operating income before impairments is expected to be in line with the prior year. So we haven't seen a drop off in operating income, but obviously we have had a rise in impairments and hence a lower net operating profit after tax. Moving to the private bank, I think this area of our business has been impacted by market conditions, and it has obviously had lower levels of activity as well as an increase in impairments. And as I said to you earlier, there has been a massive effort in the private bank, mainly in the UK at this stage, and Australia, to build their retail deposit base, and those efforts will be extended towards other parts or other geographies as well. So we've seen deposits up 11%, and a lot of that up is the last 3 to 4 months, and because obviously we saw a dip in deposits post the Lehman situation, which have now recovered and starting to grow above the levels pre-Lehman. And we did see loan portfolios grow by 20%, and a lot of that would be South Africa and exchange rate. And then funds under advice down 12% as markets have taken their toll on fund managers. I think the same applies to the private client portfolio management business. I think that in essence is our stake in Rensburg Shepherd, as well as our South African business. And you have seen decreased market volumes and reduced market values, and hence we will get a weaker performance from this business in this environment. We expect the performance to be marginally behind the first half of this financial year. But obviously we do have less funds under management, and as a consequence we'll have less income, but there's also less activity. I think capital markets has had reasonable levels of activity across our advisory, structuring and trading businesses, and obviously again here we will see an increase in impairments reflecting the weaker credit cycle. We have taken advantage of what is out there. There are a lot of opportunities in the distressed debt area, and it is performing as a global division slightly behind the first half of 2009. So overall, capital markets is performing, has performed reasonably well. And its loan portfolio is up 17%, as I said to you earlier, most of that would be currency for the year. I think on Kensington, we've seen a stable performance. There has been an increase in impairments in line with the weaker housing market. We have increased our expectation of house price declines for 2009. We originally expected to be down 10%. Now we say it will be down 15%. And that's calendar year 2009. And we also have an extra 10% haircut for sale discount to reflect what market conditions are. The book has decreased. It is a running off book. We're not originating new loans. We stopped originating new loans some time back. We've also stopped originating loans for Bradford & Bingley because we did cancel the contract a couple of months ago, and we did receive compensation for the cancellation of that contract. Arrears have increased as the book becomes more seasoned, and that's a natural thing. They will increase as the book becomes seasoned because you're not originating new loans, which take time to fall into area, and we've seen the LTVs rise to 82% as a consequence of house price deflation. So overall, we think that we're managing Kensington quite well. We've cut the overhead, as we said to you last time round, quite significantly, and therefore we do have a high level of revenue to support bad debts and to deliver an operating profit at the end of the day. I think on the investment banking side, we all know that agency and advisory activity levels are down. There's not much going on in the world, and we've seen that decline continue in this particular trading period. I think in principal transactions, we've got a tale of two cities. In South Africa, because of the nature of some of the investments we have, we've performed well. And the UK and Australia, obviously those markets are a bit shot, so they've really struggled, and we have quite substantial write-downs in that particular space in this year. Our asset management business will perform marginally behind the first half, again impacted by levels of funds under management. We have up to the end of Feb had positive net inflows, and we have seen a shift in mix from retail to institutional. Although our retail has held up reasonably well, and obviously we are in a very challenging environment for this type of business, but I think we all know that. So we have seen funds under management decline by about 5%. It's a bit worse in actual fixed currency, a stable currency, because I think the rand translated at 16.2 in March last year translates in these results at about 14.3, in these estimates at about 14.3. In property, this is mainly a South African business. We have launched funds internationally, and the money hasn't been spent yet, so there's a lot of opportunity for the international funds because they raised the cash but haven't spent the money, and they are seeing those opportunities, and hopefully we'll take advantage of some. However, the South African business has benefited from projects that are completed in this particular year and a reasonable performance from its investment portfolio. For international, for non-South Africans or listening to this presentation, you'll see that as a surprise, but the South African commercial property market has actually held up quite well. You can just look at the South African property shares. They're not down too far because there's a big expectation that rates are going to drop dramatically over the next while in South Africa, which is something we've been saying for a while and something that we believe will happen. And you saw the governor of the South African Central Bank bring forward his monetary policy committee meetings, which tells us that the rates are going to come down fast and furious from very, very high levels. On central funding, we'll see a slightly weaker performance in South Africa in the second half, and a good performance in the UK as we've implemented some debt repurchase programs, because there's a lot of opportunity in buying back one's own debt. And then our central costs will be marginally up on the first half of this year. So that gives the analysts some guidance as to where we are and where we expect to be. So other things, tax rate, we expect to be approximately 24%. Don't kill us for half a percent either way. We expect our numbers of shares in issue to be approximately 635 million, and that on goodwill impairments, I think that will be moderate across the group. There is one investment, Global Ethanol, which we're currently reviewing, which we believe we could have an impairment on, which but that hasn't been finalized. These are all still subject to audit. So I think in conclusion, I think the results for 31 March should demonstrate that we have navigated a steady course during a year of what we could call unprecedented turmoil. I think it's fair to say that in financial markets. If I sat here a year ago and said, I shouldn't say anything rather, but how many large banks would have to have a significant amount of government support that had to be made available for them just to survive, and us Investec, we've managed the storm without any support from anyone. I think we're quite comfortable that we've managed the storm very well. I think obviously we still remain in an uncertain environment and markets remain volatile. I mean, as we know, Citibank was $1 10 days ago, it is now $3 today. That's a 300% rise. That's 200%. I can't work out the math right now. I'm a bit stupid, but that's massive. If you think about the volatility that we're actually experiencing in the market, I think we will demonstrate, and I think we have demonstrated here, that we have a sound balance sheet, and that we believe that the market upheaval that since December will start presenting interesting opportunities. We're seeing approaches and those kinds of things, and obviously there's nothing at this point in time, but we do think that there will be some interesting opportunities in our core businesses from an operational level, and maybe strategically, I don't know yet, but certainly we do see that there are going to be interesting opportunities as people realign themselves and focus their business models in a different direction. So that's the story. I hope you've got enough clarity from what we've told. We are actually being fairly specific in terms of numbers as opposed to general guidance. And I think it's important in this environment to give you specific guidance as opposed to general guidance. So we're now into question time. Is it cricket today? Started. Raining. Okay. No, it's not raining in Cape Town. They're playing. Okay. So we're now into questions. Who won the toss? Again, sixth time in a row. Sure. Not good. I'll start off in, I've got a sequence I've got to go. Johannesburg. Hi, Ruby. You sneaked in before to read this and you came after to ask me a question, eh?
Mr. Kossoff.
Yes.
You are not stupid.
Yeah.
Whoever said that doesn't know what he's talking about. Mr. Kossoff, regarding Kensington, have you cleaned up the CDO situation to the extent that further impairments or write-downs are now of a negligible size?
You're confused. You're confusing CDOs with Kensington. Kensington got nothing to do with CDOs. Kensington is a mortgage portfolio. CDOs we have been written off. There's maybe a few bones left that based on expected cash flow, but I don't think it's more than a couple of million pounds. It's gone.
All right.
Now, I don't know if any of it will ever come back. Maybe one day some will come back and we'll have a present for you. But at the moment, it's gone.
You mentioned that Kensington is not giving any new loans.
Nothing.
Nothing. So then what's the future for this division?
We collect the back book. There's a margin in the back book.
Right.
So
and in the year dot, when you've collected everything, what happens to the to that division? Surely you have at some stage to start it up again?
Well, it depends on how life goes, okay? You know, at the moment, there's no purpose in giving new loans because the model is based on originating and selling, and you can't sell loans, and there's no point in carrying on running the front book. So, you know, if it suits us down the line, then one could rejuvenate the front end of the business. We refocus people on deposit gathering and other sorts of things. So we've kept the platform alive, but at the moment the job is to run the back book and make a margin and running the book out.
Does that therefore suggest that staff have been let go?
Yeah, told you. We started off with 400 right. people. I think we got 80 or 90, maybe even less.
Thank you.
Okay. That we told you, you were missing a few times. Okay, if you keep up to date, you'll know the whole story. More questions, yeah.
Stephen?
May
I ask you, in terms of private banking, yes. At one stage you were lending quite heavily to in the UK, in the property area and in Australia. Do you have, what is the position of your properties under repossession? You're speaking about impairments. Were those in the main the properties which you've had to repossess when you saw that massive boom in the London property market and in Australia?
We don't have a lot of repossessions, but obviously we have defaults which could end up in repossession. We've made impairments, so we don't have a lot of repossessions.
Are your impairments in the main being in terms of property?
Not only property, you have other things that you have impairments on. Property is part of it. I would guess it's probably half the impairments. The other impairments are just general impairments that you get.
Would those be sort of private equity funds where the market value has gone down significantly, where you put together syndicates and private individuals?
Private equity. You can get a bit from acquisition finance. I think it would be across property, acquisition finance, financing some empowerment transactions. That's where the impairments have come from.
The BE was at the empowerment funding in South Africa then?
Yeah, we've got impairments in South Africa. South Africa's not immune. You've had your equity markets get a hiding as well. But that's where the impairments come from.
In terms of percentage-wise, what percentage would South Africa be and then the UK and Australia, just roughly speaking?
I haven't got the number. In my head, I haven't got the number.
Thank you.
I mean, you'll get that number in... This is a trading update. We're giving you guidance. I haven't got the number.
Thank you.
More questions there? Marco?
Stephen, I just wanted to ask you a little bit more on the issue of impairments. You're giving a range of 1.1 to 1.2% on bad debts.
Yes.
Your best guess on where that goes going forward? I mean, to what extent are there big one-offs in there, like that Central African gold deal and things like that, so implying it might not deteriorate much in the year ahead?
Yeah, it's a guess because one doesn't know where the economies go. I guess if the economy sort of stabilizes at this level, my guess is that number would not get higher than that. If it gets significantly worse, you're going to have good people start falling off the bus. So it's a question of where life ultimately goes. I think your weaker loans go first, and I think we've had a few of those. But, you know, if the economy sustain themselves in a weak form for much longer than one anticipates, then, who knows? But those numbers look like the kind of numbers that one would expect.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Could you maybe just provide more colour to that forward sale agreement with Bradford and Bingley?
Cancelled.
Looking to sell off assets to them?
Yeah, we used to originate loans to sell off to them. They took up all the loans that we originated and they cancelled the agreement and paid us compensation. And then we had to close down that originating team, so we have costs associated with it.
Just in terms of the funding for that now,
we don't have to fund it anymore. It's gone. We don't have a book. It's gone. Cancelled.
Okay.
Steve? Is that clear enough?
Okay. Steve?
Yeah, where were you?
Okay. Cabela Cetero from IDG. To what extent is Investec intending to target the public sector, particularly given your cost structure?
Well, we see the public sector as a client of ours, so I'm not quite sure what the cost structure has got to do with the question, but the public sector is a client of ours, and we would continue to try and provide services to the public sector. So we see them as a core target client.
Stephen, just a question on the write-downs. Have you made any further write-downs since half year? And could you give us an update on the outstanding sort of positions in Kensington as well as in the U.S.?
I thought I answered Ruby on the U.S. because most of that is written out. Okay. So I don't know. I haven't got the exact detail of what is left there, but certainly all the CDIs are gone and written down. There are some CLOs, but I can't give you the exact quantum offhand. So we have made further write-downs, and that's why you've seen our impairment charge kick up from, I think, 0.7 to 1.1 to 1.2. So there are further write-downs. Sure.
The rating agencies recently downgraded some aspect of your business. Can you tell us how that would affect you in the future?
We haven't seen much effect from it because I guess that the rating agencies are downgrading everyone. So we haven't seen much effect from it.
Do you think it was fair there?
No, I don't think it was fair, but that's my view and they have their view and we will never ever agree. So one doesn't think it's fair. I think we've had no government support. They don't give us any scale uplift like they give other three or four notches of scale uplift because they've been backed by government. But that's just life. So we're still trading profitably. As I said, our UK business is down less than 30%. So, you know, but that's their view and we have our view and people must look for themselves. I think I don't have to get abusive towards anyone here. I think I could. I think, you know, I think some of their models are fundamentally wrong. If we didn't have fundamentally wrong models, then maybe we wouldn't be in the space we're in the world where people relied on ratings that were nonsense, but still. So I think look at yourself. Look at the facts yourself and see what the facts look like and then make your own call.
Well, they're also
relying on a model.
They also downgraded Buffett and he was a bit upset.
Yeah, well, we all get upset, but, you know, at the end of the day, everyone has the right to say what they think and give their own view.
Citibank and Bank of America recently said that they made a profit over the last 2 months.
Yeah.
As a banker, do you think that's sustainable or it's just a flash in the pan?
No, I think it's sustainable. I think once they've dealt with their write-off, they still have, you know, good operational businesses. I think once they've dealt with the write-offs, I think it's sustainable. But it's a question of the write-off. Once that's finished, then you're going to see these guys start restoring to some normality. Still got big factories that generate a lot of revenue. So this issue is about being write-offs. You've got the double dip. You had the financial markets, the treasury assets, as people call them, had to be written down, and now they have to deal with what's going on in the real economy. Credit cards, consumer loans, all those kinds of things, acquisition loans, corporate loans. So you've got the double dip, and that's why it's quite tough.
I see you've increased the size of your headquarters here. Considering the way business is going, was that a good decision?
Well, you know, you'd make those decisions years in advance because you can't plan for the day. So when we moved into this building, the one you're sitting in right now, we also hit the 98 trauma in South Africa. And for a year or two, we had empty floors, and that's what will happen. We have empty floors for a year or two, and then when life comes back, you'll fill them up. Or you rent them out. So we've designed the building in a way that we can rent out floors if we think we should. So we needed the space anyway. So we're just not full. So we've got a couple of floors empty. That's all. 2 floors empty or 2.5 floors empty. More questions in South Africa?
Stephen, can you just give us an update on the warehousing lines? Has there been any change in agreements or notice given?
No, no notice given. The earliest one matures in December 2010, and the others about a year to 18 months later. So you've got between 21 months and 3 years left. More questions?
Even if you had to use your wisdom and hazard a guess, how far down the curve are we in terms of global banking write-offs? Would we be 30%, 50%, 60%?
I don't know. You know, I was at the World Economic Forum, not this year, but the year before, and Norio Rubini stood up and said that he thinks that what everyone calls a $250 billion problem is a $1 trillion problem. Okay, now that everyone's saying it's a $1.5 trillion problem, he's saying it's a $4.5 trillion problem. I suppose beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And it's a question, it depends on how these economies turn around. I mean, I know less than you on the subject probably. So when you've had the massive amount of stimulus that is going into the system, plus interest rates at zero, plus quantitative easing, at a point in time, it's going to have some effect. And you know, you've got the other guy saying, well, it's going to be inflationary. Fine. I think we need a bit of inflation in this environment. But it is going to turn around at a point in time. I think the banks have taken a hiding, and they've had massive write-downs, and it probably will start turning around within the next 6 months to 18 months, depending on how deep the issue goes. But at a point, zero rates and quantitative easing plus fiscal stimulus has to have some effect.
Do you think the new initiatives announced over the last couple of days and the last week or two are going to accelerate the global economies, bring in any more confidence and result in some of the banks growing into profit area like we've seen from two or three of the banks in the US and two in the UK?
Yeah, I think they've got to have an effect. I mean, I think you can't just, you know, the economy is not just being left. The central bankers, the finance ministers are determined to do whatever they can to turn it around, and at a point in time it's going to have an effect. I just don't know when that turn, there is a lag effect, and the lag is, you know, normally 6 to 9 months. So, you know, one would believe what Bernanke says, that last quarter you'll start seeing an impact. But obviously the fall off after Lehman's was quite dramatic. That October to December fall off, and anyone who's in business will know that sort of like their businesses hit a wall in that period. Up until Lehman's, life was not great, but it was sort of okay.
Thank you.
More questions? But I'm not an economist and I haven't a clue, so like most of us, our job is to navigate. More questions? Okay, I'm going to London. Bernard?
Thanks, Stephen. Any questions?
Good morning. It's James Hamilton from Numis Securities. A couple, if I may. Firstly, you've indicated here that there's strong interest income growth and fees have been relatively weak. Clearly, average funds under management are impacting there, and obviously other fee income as well. Given that things like average funds are likely to remain weak and fee income in the other business lines are going to remain weak, sort of how and when will we get to the point where your objective of increasing fee income and reducing dependence on interest income will materialize?
Well, again, that depends on how long we stay in the current market conditions. I think that there are going to be opportunities for us to do that over the next while. I think that as one moves deep into this, deep through the crisis and you're still on the field, you have less competition and more opportunities start coming your way. So I think in this particular trading result, we're dealing with a half year, which I would say October to March, where the world was in a particular tailspin. I don't think, I think moving out of that, as that starts stabilizing, you'll start seeing the other side the efforts that that are being made on building the non-lending revenue start coming home. But how long, I can't call, but I would start seeing that over the next year to 18 months.
And my second, if I may, could you make some comments around your portfolio of lending businesses? What signs you're seeing from your clients of very early stage weakness, which if the economies continue to deteriorate, would you expect to translate into impairment in future periods?
I think I tried to answer that question earlier when Michael Gresty of Deutsche Bank asked that question. I think that obviously we see now some of our weaker transactions fall over, and we do expect impairments to remain at this 1.1 to 1.2% type level this next financial year. Depending on how that weakens, that could be higher or lower, depending on how the economy plays out. So I think that's all I can answer you at the moment. We're not expecting it much weaker than what the impairment charge that we're seeing, but who knows where the economy is going.
Question? Question from Neil Welch here at Foxbit Kelton. Two questions, actually, if you've got the time. The first is on your funding requirements. I noticed the increase in private banking deposits. Could you give us just a quick idea as to what are the immediate liabilities that need refinancing on the balance sheet, and you know, what are the funding arrangements that you might use for those just going forward?
Yeah, I think we're in a position to fund any maturity of immediate liabilities. I think we, as you see, we built up a lot of surplus funds, and as I said to you, we've had a strong success in the gathering of retail and structured, if I can call them that, structured type deposits. So we are in a position to fund any kind of maturity, even if they don't roll over at this point in time. And we run those stresses every single day, and we are in a position to fund all of them. So we've built up quite a lot of surplus cash to cater for some of the maturities that are coming up over the next while.
Thank you. And could you just give us an idea of what the quantum of that is?
I think you can, I don't know the numbers offhand, there's probably £500 million or so, and as I've said, you're in a position to fund any of that if nothing rolls.
Thank you. The second question was just to look at the, again, I'm afraid, this impairment question. To what extent will you assume in making these impairment number your ability to refinance the companies that you've already lent to on any existing debt that they might have from other funders which don't have the liquidity that you have?
I think most of our clients are banked mainly by us. I think obviously we have some consortium situations out there, and I think we've assumed that we will not be funding anything in that assessment. We certainly assume that we'll be able to fund our existing clients and their needs, and I think that is fair game. We do have some redemptions every month on our loan portfolios because some people settle and those kinds of things, and obviously that's come down over the last while, but certainly we're comfortable that we can fund any of our existing clients' needs. And you're talking there specifically UK, I think each geography is quite different. More questions?
No, thanks, Stephen. I think that's all. No.
Okay. Where's Ursula? Is that it? Huh? More questions in Joburg? Yeah, Louis, I thought you were quiet today. You're going to ask about the dividend. You say we started a bad move by cutting our dividend. Now the whole world's cutting the dividends.
Exactly. You started this whole thing, and they took it much further. Now we're totally out of pocket.
Yeah.
But we are really disappointed that you didn't buy into Citigroup when they were trading at a hamburger a share. Tell me, obviously...
You should have bought. You would have tripled your money.
Obviously, there's a rumor that Gordon Brown wants to nationalize investing. It's not true, right?
He's lurking around in Gresham Street.
No, what I actually wanted to ask you is this capital market bubble that's going to burst. How is it going to affect you?
But you're thinking about the bond market now. Okay, is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah.
The bond yields are slow low and they're the next bubble. I don't think it'll affect us at all. I think you've had all the bubbles that can affect a bank.
That
will affect investors in the long term if inflation kicks up and these guys are holding long-term bonds at very low prices.
Yes. Just one thing more I must have missed. Your liquidity was about £6.5 billion last time around.
It wasn't. At our peak, we said we were £5.2 billion today.
Oh, that's still great. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Okay. More questions? Okay, we're finished. Thank you very much. Anyone who wants to ask questions in London can ask Bernard afterwards, or me, you can ask me afterwards in Java. Thank you.